Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York.
Look at Brew. Brew,
what are you doing?
Delivered.
It's Monday.
Getting his coffee delivered.
It's tea.
I
need it for my voice.
Butler service.
Your voice? What's wrong with your voice? I can get worse if I don't have my tea.
Oh, okay. All right.
Live from New York. It's a show with a hoarse voice. It's First Things First today. After the reigning champs lost game one in Denver, is tonight a must win? Yes. Definitely.
Wow.
They call me the mayor of Fair.
Wow.
Not the mayor of...
They're about to call you the mayor of Wrongtown. That's what they're going to call you.
Good one.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, the search for Darvin Ham's replacement has started. The blame game continues, Brew. Is LeBron's coach killer label unfair? We'll ask the mayor of Fair and also Nick Wright.
Official label?
Yeah.
Evidently.
Okay. And finally, Robert Sala talks about Rodgers and Brew debuts a very optimistic take about the four-time MVP in about 23 minutes.
He's no good. I mean, who would believe in him? You know, I mean,
he hasn't thrown over 300 yards in 23 games, though.
We need the days count because the games it hasn't upgraded because he hasn't played.
But I still like it. But the days, it just I'm going to penalize the guy for the offseason. He's doing podcasts.
Okay. Okay.
Alongside Chris Broussard.
Now you want to be nice to him? Okay.
I'm not being nice. I'm just spitting facts. Alongside Chris Broussard and Kevin Wilds. Nick Wright. Sorry, you missed it.
You chatted too much.
We start with the Wolves. Anthony Edwards dropped 43 in Denver as the Wolves snatched game one away from the champs. Game two is tonight. Here's Ant-Man.
I mean, I lost to these guys last year, you know. And they are the defending champs. They're a hard team to beat. Great team. They got great players. They got the best player in the league with Nikola Jokic. To me, they got the best closer with Jamal Murray, the best three-point shooter with Michael Porter Jr. So it's tough to beat this team. Going against the best player in the world is always fun. Going against the best team in the world is always fun.
No, I like the two-man interview. Ant's last three playoff games were 43, 40, and 36. Are you surprised? Because I don't think you had them in game one. You had them in the series. So you probably are surprised Minnesota stole game one. You didn't have him in game one.
Hey, don't try to steal Bruce moment.
Right.
This is unbelievable.
How dare you even ask me this question?
Exactly, bro. Tell him.
I mean, I sat up. I'm one of the few national pundits that had the guts to say that Minnesota would win this series. And a week and a half ago, I was saying, I'm leaning toward the Timberwolves.
It's true. Okay.
And then I came. And now you got a lot of people coming out. Oh, Minnesota's going to win this series. Yeah. And I don't want to hear it after game
one. Agreed, bro.
Minnesota is who I picked. I don't think we picked game one.
That is correct.
You know what surprised me, though? The fact that when you asked the question, it wasn't Brew's Timberwolves. Because hold on, I picked the Clippers in one series 6 years ago, and now they're Brew's Clippers for life.
They are.
These should be my Timberwolves for the duration of Anthony Edwards' career. How about that?
That's only fair.
Okay. But here's why. Look, Nick, if you notice, I'm not surprised because they have all they need to beat Denver, and I'm not right. Look, the Nuggets are champs. They're going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got the size to make it tough on Jokic, and we saw it all night. That surprised me, Nick. Like, Jokic obviously played well, 32, 9, and 8. But, man, he had to work
and another half-dozen-plus turnover game.
Yeah, which seven turnovers. Every moment he was on the court, I felt like he controlled the game against the Lakers, especially in the second half when it was like winning time. I didn't think he controlled this game at all.
No.
True. Because their size made it tough on him. They got the superstar that can take it over whenever he wants, rise to the occasion. They've got shooting. They were the third best three-point shooting team in the league. They've got good coaching. Two of their coaches, the two head coaches, if you want to count Mike Anori now, were on the Nuggets staff when Jokic was a younger player, so they know him a little bit. So, their defense, too, and that was the thing that made me put me over the top with them. Their defense is tenacious. And they can take away Gordon at the dunker spot, which was so effective.
Yeah, and Rudy, so they did. There were a lot of things in this game. And shout out first and foremost, I'm going to give a couple non-player shout outs. Tim Conley. Because Conley built the Nuggets and then didn't get to celebrate the championship with him because before last season, Minnesota hired him away. His first big move was the Rudy Gobert trade, panned almost universally by myself as well, by myself included, as I thought it was a massive overpay. I'm sorry?
You were the ringleader of the
I don't know if I was the ringleader of it, but I was certainly, you know, among the
chorus. It was a lot of picks.
It was four first-round picks.
And Gobert's history.
Right, his history in the playoffs, how last year went for them, all of it looked like it was a disaster. But he was clearly trying to build a team to beat the team he had just built, who he thought could be the team to beat, and then they won the title. Shout out to him. Also, I am not going to watch a series where the Lakers play the Nuggets and talk about mistakes or miscues that I thought Darvin Ham made and not give credit to Chris Finch for instantly having ready for it. You know what? And this was pointed out on Wendy's pod today, so credit to those by Bond Temps. I want to give credit. That the most devastating play in basketball this year, one of the very most, has been whenever Jokic brings the ball up the court. They score like, you know, a point and a half almost per possession. It was unbelievable. They pressured it. Yep. They just, the simple adjustment of make
it
him work more, it slows him down. And so they did a lot of things that I think are coaching things. Make Jokic defend in the pick and roll. Not because he can't defend, but because it wears him down. Make him work if he's going to bring the ball up. That's coaching. And I thought Chris Finch and his staff did a great job. And so, and then of course there's Ant. And what Ant is trying to do here. And I understand there are a lot of these Michael Jordan comps, and that, in my opinion, and I know Ant said today to stop them, I think it's actually unfair to both of them. I think it's unfair to Ant. It's unfair to Jordan because Jordan is Jordan and Ant is just getting started. But it's also unfair to Ant because, in fairness, Jordan was not doing this in the postseason at 22. Jordan didn't win his second playoff game till he was 25. There are not guys that do. LeBron did it. And Durant did it.
So are
in
you
the last
saying
20 years.
It's an insult to
what I'm saying is
because Edwards came, and I'm not trying to just defend Jordan, but I'm saying context. He didn't have an all star like Karl Anthony Towns and even Rudy Gobert. You know, four time defensive.
Listen,
soon to be four time.
You're not trying to defend Jordan. Yeah. I'm not trying to take shots. I'm just trying to contextualize that doing even amongst the greatest players ever. Only a very, very short list of the greatest players ever have been the best player on a team that goes on a deep playoff run at this age. Durant did it. LeBron did it. Derrick Rose did it. They're the only guys in the last really 30 years to do it. Kobe was the second best guy. And so what he's doing is spectacular. And, yeah, I mean, was I surprised they stole game one? I was because Denver Wilds, with this starting five in games that nobody leaves with injury, had lost two times to a Western Conference team at home ever.
Two times ever.
Ever to a Western Conference team at home.
Oh, with this starting five.
With this starting five.
Because Jamal was out when they beat them last time.
Right. With this starting five, when they're whole, the one was overtime to Phoenix and one was the Shingun game. That's it. And that's playoffs or regular season. That's not just this year. So that is, it's surprising any time they lose. So, yeah.
I was surprised. Look, I think it was a needed wake-up call. And I had Hubs pull this graphic, and I told a little story about when my son is 10, and he's quite fast, and we have races. And he's never going to beat me, at least for a good decade
or at least a few years.
But, boy, does he scamper out there really quick. And Denver consistently finds themselves in these holes and has to fight and claw back. And with the Lakers, it comes down to the final buzzer, and Jamal can put it in. But the fact that you fell down deep in the first quarter and had to come back It shows that they're just a little bit loose, or maybe the adjustments aren't as quick as they were last year. 2023, they played 20 games. They were down 12 or more five times. In these playoffs, they played six games. They've been not down 12 or more one time. They were down 14 in the first quarter. Were there some weird things happening? Yes, Naz Reid played out of his mind. The whole team shot 71% in the second half. But Joker needs to just play more efficiently. And some things, I'm not going to say luck. I'm going to say good pressure defense. But when we looked at those turnovers, when you go through them, two of them are like weird traveling calls. One was a three-second violation. Strange stuff that I don't think is going to be happen over and over again. But it's a needed wake-up call, and they deserve it.
And it's also this.
Nice try.
It's a wake-up call.
Well, we'll get to the Denver side in just a moment. But it should be noted, when these two teams played last year in the playoffs, which was a close gentleman's sweep, I suppose. Yeah. You know, not necessarily every game was close, but it felt like no Naz Reid. Right. No Jaden McDaniels. So those are two of the most important guys for. So Denver loses Bruce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
These guys get back. They already had him on the team, but obviously Jaden broke his hand punching a wall, and Naz was hurt. And Anthony Edwards being whatever the hell he is now, which
and
is trying
to be. They figured out the defense even more.
A lot going on, which brings us to what
Jamal
we should have started
calf.
The show with.
Well, that was supposed
to. Oh, these excuses.
Not excuses. Am I allowed to analyze the game, or am I supposed to just?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Pat Beverly for 20 minutes. Am I worried about Jamal Murray's calf? Yes. Is he? Not necessarily. Take a listen.
I'm not going to make no excuses, bro. Everybody's got neck injuries. Everybody's playing through something at this point in the season. My calf is no different than anybody else on the team or in the league, honestly. So, obviously, it sucks, but it's not something I enjoy talking about as a part of the loss. It's going to be a part of it, and I've accepted that. And you know, there's counters for everything. So, I just got to keep adjusting. We got to keep adjusting, and you know, find ways to get it done.
Yeah, okay, that's basically what I said.
Uh-huh.
It's not an excuse. Uh-huh. His calf is, to his credit, I don't think his calf is as healthy as everyone else's in the league. I didn't do a full analysis of everybody's calf, but I think there's some, his is hurt.
In fairness, this was part of why I liked Minnesota, in that I don't think Murray's 100%. And I'm going to credit him, and I said this last week, for not making this an excuse. Correct. I mean, you could hear a few things. It sucks, you know, it's part of it. And people might say, oh, he threw that. They kept grilling him. They must have asked him five times about the calf. All right. And initially he was like, look, I'm fine. I'm out there playing. I played 34 minutes. I'm good. So he's not making an excuse. But clearly he's not what he was last year. And that's been the only deterrent in his career, really, is injury problems. And so when you talk about Anthony Edwards, I had Anthony Edwards in my second team all defense on my official thing. He's a great defender. Yeah. Some people calling him the best two-way guard in the league now. When he's guarding you, it's going to be tough not to be 100%. Well, he's bigger. He's stronger.
Yeah, he's flying
as fast as you.
Just a challenge. He's definitely the best two-way guard in the league. I'm just trying to think in my head who's even in the competition. He's definitely the best two-way guard in the league. But Brew,
SGA is a very good.
Yeah, I think Anthony Edwards is better defensively than SGA, and I think that offensively you can call it a push. But regardless, ask Wilds the question.
Is
it's
it a
on
must
the bottom
win?
Line. Yeah, or
of
I'll
course.
Ask, what?
It's 100% a must win.
So if they lose tonight,
you're out.
You're
if they
I will be very, very, very nervous.
Well, hold
but
on.
But I will go down with the ship if the, needed.
Is anyone beating Denver in a 7-game series?
No.
If they lose tonight, will you feel that way?
No. What?
Okay. See, here's the thing, and this is where Wilds Brew is going to run, I think, the full gamut of emotions.
We're not losing tonight.
I'm going to, whether you lose tonight or not, because I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh.
Wilds, at some point, probably not even during a Nuggets segment this week, is going to yell at me on the air.
Well, that's
and it's because, Brew,
you would
it's because he is now, after having a classic one victory lap that didn't quite feel quite as good as you thought it would, did it, buddy? That's why you were so mad. Is now dealing with the aftershocks of going out on a limb and then realizing, uh-oh, it's a little shakier than I thought.
I feel confident.
Uh-oh, I could be wrong. Okay. Uh-oh, something that I have grilled into the audience 23 times our buddy KW has tweeted. No one is beating Denver in a seven-game series. When you missed him, you also missed he made funny at-home social media sizzle reels. We can play it for you if we could, Huss.
Well, this is good. I didn't license this.
How I remain so confident. I'm always reminding myself, Ben, no one's beating Denver in a seven-game series. I'm going to say it 100 times. I'm always reminding myself.
My drawer. It's my laundry. It's a microwave.
Yeah, so
and I ended it with a Mac Jones
joke.
He ended it with a Mac Jones joke
that I took out to be kind. Wiles.
Let me throw this at you, Wiles.
Ooh.
It is difficult to repeat in the NBA.
That is
it, though?
The last repeat champion was 2018 on an almost unfairly stacked Golden State team with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and those guys. Before that, you got to go back to what?
The Miami Heat. A stacked team
with a gluttonous amount of Hall of Famers. And then before that,
Kobe. That, to be fair, that's the only one without a stacked team.
And Pat, right.
But that was before
this huge kind of big three era. But it's just tough, man.
I'm not moving off of the prediction.
Until after tonight.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're going to lose.
If you would move off it after tonight, then I think you're
I'm not moving off of it.
But you called it a must win.
It's a must win because historically, it's a must win.
The Clippers came back from losing the first
They were the last ones to do it. It's happened 29 times.
It's only come back five.
Five teams have won the series, 24 have lost. It so just statistically,
Yao and McGrady. So it, you know, some good players.
That's what I'm saying. But tonight is a must-win. So game. Would I still be believing in Denver? Yeah, definitely. But I still believe.
So here's to your point, Brew, about it being hard to repeat. I want to expand on that because it's not only that it's hard to repeat. It's that in the moment after a championship, it. Almost always, Kawhi with the Raptors doesn't really count because he left. It almost always feels like, well, why is this team ever not going to win the next championship? The Lakers win the title. The next year, they have the best record in basketball. They are the Vegas favorites to win the title until LeBron gets hurt. The next year, Milwaukee wins the title. They're rolling. Everything's great. Right. Middleton gets dinged. Tatum has the game of his life. By the way, neither the Lakers nor the Bucks have, you know, been that close since then. The Lakers made a conference finals. The next year, Golden State wins the title. They open the following season as the co-favorites to win. It doesn't ever get off the ground because Draymond. I'm talking about two years ago. Lakers won.
That was a bad
It looked
pick.
Like they were going to.
But notice
Milwaukee
everything,
won.
The common denominator, everything you said, an injury. Jamal, even though he's playing.
But the other piece of it is this. Those four teams seem miles away from championship contention right now. Miles away. And so I know there's been a lot of, I heard it happened the other day, that Jokic is already the greatest international player ever. That he is, and I don't think he's greater than Hakeem. It was really a Jokic-Dirk discussion. Set that aside.
Between him and
Hakeem. There's talks about a Denver dynasty. I'm saying there are, if they were to lose this round, it's going to feel a lot like Milwaukee, okay, they'll be fine. They'll be right back the next year. And then we look back and it's like, wait, see, Milwaukee just won the
record,
one.
Last year, they left Denver tied at one, going to Miami, and then they won.
But they were that was
there, they're going to do
that.
They're
Miami
gonna,
team wasn't as good as this.
Well, they were in the finals. What do you want me to do? They got to play.
Hold on. You felt like the Miami team was as formidable as this one?
I don't know. I don't compare eras.
They're not as talented.
I'm just telling you.
Last year,
11 months ago, you brought it up.
Yeah,
you literally brought up Miami, not us.
Yeah.
You thought they were as formidable as this.
Well, I don't know. They were in the finals. And I have to sit here and tell you how great Heat culture is. They're in the finals all the time. They're in the finals in the bubble. In the finals last year.
last year. They're always in the conference finals.
Even if you're down 2-1, you got to make something up to make it look like you're still.
They're going to leave and go to Minnesota at 1-1. They'd be like, guess where we were? We did this last year.
They should.
And then they'll steal one in Minnesota and come back.
And it's going to be a long
deal. What they did deal with last year was ever trailing in a series. Never once. And now
I think they're fine. Okay, yeah, championship pedigree. It's a nice wake-up call. Watch. They're going to storm out. Joker's going to hit a bunch of threes. We'll be fine. Finally, pour some out for Bruce Clippers if you're holding a beverage that you don't care too much about.
Bruce Timberwolves.
In a performance that literally everyone saw coming, Harden and Paul George combined for a mediocre 34 points. Here's the duo post-game.
Do you view yourself as being here long-term with Kawhi, with James, with the rest of the guys?
Yeah, if it works that way, absolutely.
You're entering the offseason where you could have some decisions to make, I guess. How do you view that?
I don't even know. You asked a lot of questions that I don't have the answer to or haven't even thought about.
Brew, what's next for your Clippers?
Well, with Harden, I think he's right. I don't know who's going to want him other than the Clippers. I mean, because you know as good a player as he is in the regular season, I mean, these last two games – these are the ones that matter. And he did what he's done time and time again in the playoffs. Now, look, I can't overstate how bad of a decision it was for the Clippers. Shout out to Kawhi and Uncle Dennis for being smart and getting it done. But giving Kawhi that three-year, $150 million contract, that because if they didn't give him that, Nick, you know this, they're actually in position to rebuild. Because Harden's a free agent. Paul George is a free agent. Kawhi would be a free agent. You could go in a whole different direction if you want it. Now that you signed Kawhi and you don't have any draft picks, for the most part, it's like, honestly, I don't think they're going to win anything significant.
Well, that's the problem.
But I think you got to – if you can get Paul George and – James Harden, which I think you can get. I'm not maxing him out, and that's the problem with George.
So you want to run
I'm running
back,
it back. I mean,
bro.
What are you doing? Hold on. Let me finish.
I'm agreeing
better
with you.
Better to be relevant, make the playoffs because of the names. There's a little hope, you know, than just fall off the
What's
map.
The
let every right.
I don't know.
There's no.
But running it back doesn't seem to be the answer.
They're not going to win anything, but they're relevant.
The key is they don't get their own draft pick for 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
So if you're bad, you're not even winning.
The key is, right, the key is you can't. In general, I would agree the responsible decision is admit this is not anything close to a championship roster. Rip it down and start over. The problem is there's no building blocks with which to start over.
Yeah,
you, if they do rip it down, they don't get anything from that. The Thunder are going to get the Thunder have one of their picks, the Sixers have one of their picks, and then the Thunder have swaps with them. So it might be 5 years, not 6 years, but they just don't control it. And so they're just trying to stave off the total wilderness. And all they can hope for is,
years like this.
Yes, year. Yeah. And honestly,
maybe 1 year, these guys will all be healthy.
But they're not contenders.
Ty Lue will be interesting. At first, I thought he should not sign an extension with them. All right, because in a year, he will be, Milwaukee. Things don't go well for them next year. I mean, seriously.
How many coaches don't Milwaukee going to pay?
Well, they already paid, three?
Yeah,
if
Boston.
Things don't go well this year, right, Boston, if things don't go well for them.
Yeah.
So he could be, wanted. And so, but Ballmer's going to throw a ton of money at him. It'll be hard to turn down. So he may just accept it. But this is not a good situation. I know Ty is frustrated. And who wouldn't be? Because your guys are always hurt.
Yeah.
And so I don't really think he can sign it. But because Ballmer, the money Ballmer will offer him, he'll probably offer him a year from now, too.
Maybe. I think Ty will get his extension. I think that Ty Lue and Jason Kidd have done a good job of.
Oh, they want to give him. I'm just saying, do you think it's smart of him to take it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a big contract extension guy. Like on big job, on big time jobs that. Right, but there's. You're also then hoping that a team that's actually really good, that comes open. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just know that the fact that the Clippers are now have to hope against hope
that Paul George will accept what will be a bad contract from the team's perspective is not a good place to be in. But that's what they have.
And Harden, I mean, I don't know how much.
Tough one. I'm sorry, bro.
You don't have to give
him. I'm really sorry.
Look, my team is the Timberwolves.
No.
All right.
Will Rodgers have a Pro Bowl season next on FS1 and the Fox Sports Channel on
Sirius XM? You know, Bruce used to live in Los Angeles.
Well, that's true.
He did.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back to the show. Robert Saleh talked about his four-time MVP quarterback, and while Rodgers is recovering from an Achilles, Saleh expects Rodgers to be a full go. Take a listen.
I mean, the guy can still sling it. Obviously, he's still working through his rehab, but no issues on the trajectory at which he's going. It's naturally managed because of the phase one, phase two part of it. But once phase three hits, we're not anticipating any restrictions from what we can and can't do with him.
Now, Rodgers did practice last year and was going to come back.
But we stopped. I think.
Scout team linebacker. Invisible. That's crazy.
I don't know what phase
that's crazy. Yeah, if they were just a little better, he was going to play. Yeah. But he's defense. Not yet. He was going to play quarterback, though, if they were a little better. But now, 3 months later.
What phase are we in?
I don't know. He's not yet quite fully cleared. I get it.
But he
it
could play in a game last year.
100%. He proved everyone wrong.
He did.
And
science
and
in general.
And set records.
The Jets are going to go along with that.
Yeah.
They're not going to upset Aaron at all.
Brew, do you expect Rodgers to have a Pro Bowl caliber season?
Well, look, Pro Bowl, that's three quarterbacks from each conference.
Yeah.
The AFC, you got Mahomes, Lamar, C.J. Stroud. Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. That's five. All of them aren't making the Pro Bowl, maybe as alternates, I guess. Justin Herbert, and I didn't even mention Tua and Trevor Lawrence.
You didn't have to mention Trevor
Lawrence. So my point is there will be quarterbacks in the AFC that have Pro Bowl caliber seasons who don't make the Pro Bowl. Okay, so that said, I think Aaron Rodgers can be one of them. All right, the weapons I've told you guys, I think you've come to believe me now.
No,
they got really good weapons.
We haven't. No, we never agreed on that.
Garrett Wilson's not a good weapon.
Now
we're assuming for the sake of conversation that they're healthy.
If you just want to say
they're not going to be healthy,
then
okay.
Can I ask a question? How about for the sake of conversation, we assume that football players have the average health that they've always had?
That's fair.
How about that? Is that fair?
No.
So for Mike Williams, we're supposed to assume for the first time since we've worked together that he's going to play a full season. That's fair?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Let's say he plays 12 games.
Okay. All right,
let's say
sure.
he plays 12
okay.
games. Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
You got Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. They got weapons. You got a defense that's top-notch.
That has nothing to do with Rodgers' Pro Bowl caliber season.
No. The defense being top-notch will help Aaron Rodgers. It'll put him in good positions. You got weapons. I'm going to be honest. If healthy, I'm expecting 30-ish.
30-ish.
Little 25 to 30-ish touchdowns from Aaron.
Okay.
Single-digit interceptions, his typical thing. Five, six.
Five interceptions.
I mean, that's what he does. That's his claim to
fame.
Well,
last healthy year he had 12.
All right.
And the MVP year
he is more motivated than he has been since his second MVP season. You got to agree with me on that. And I think he's got one more, not MVP level, but one more very good season in him.
Yeah,
how many 300-yard games will he have this year?
You want to place a bet? You're talking big and bad.
I'm just looking for one.
He's going to get one at least.
Okay, how many is he going to have?
He's going to get several. Several. Okay. Let me look at the schedule.
I'll set the over-under at 5.5.
Ooh, I'll take the under.
I'll take the under.
Oh, okay, all right. So you're thinking he's going to have 4 or 5 is what you're saying. Okay, I was just not a real line. I just was trying to get someone pinned down. All right.
5, 6.
Brew. What was the theme of last season on this show? We talked about the league holistically. We were like, what happened to that team? It's like, oh, they lost their coordinator. Oh, this coordinator's not good. Oh, this coaching staff struggled. Why are we not doing any of that math with the Jets? We have no evidence at any point that Nat Hackett's a good offensive coordinator. None.
Green Bay?
The Packers.
No. But Matt LaFleur is calling the plays. Matt LaFleur is running everything there. He was technically the offensive coordinator. Right, right. But by the way, if Matt LaFleur was going to come over and coach the Jets, I would be convinced that maybe that could work. But as far as this type of job, we haven't seen him succeed at it. And by the way, we have seen the Jets, however, lose Rodgers and Nat Hackett and be fine, right, offensively, sure. without really missing a beat. And so I don't trust the offensive coaching staff. I also think that you're right, there's a lot of really good quarterbacks in the AFC. I think the question is, if we're saying you can have a Pro Bowl caliber season without actually making the Pro Bowl, which I understand your point. Question is, like, can Aaron Rodgers be one of the 6 best quarterbacks in the conference?
No.
One of this, I do not think he can.
I think he could.
He's going to be better than Justin Herbert? If you did your list, I think Herbert came in 6th.
Herbert is the sixth guy you mentioned.
To use Nick's point, are we looking at injury history? Because Joe Burrow, is he going to be healthy?
You think Joe, but Aaron Rodgers with an Achilles that he's still.
He's motivated this year.
Rodgers
hasn't typically had injury problems.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you say he's motivated this year?
Because he's all in. I'm being real. Like, when he went to the Jets, I was skeptical at first. And I mean, I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl contender like a lot of people, but he is so excited to be with the Jets. All right. He's working, doing the offseason workouts. We are seeing a commitment level from him that we didn't see his last year in Green Bay. Working with the receivers. So I just think he's clear. His attitude is clearly more positive than it was last year.
I guess I could combat that with, we have more reason to believe that he has a multitude of deep non-football interests at this point than at any point in Green Bay. That he has
more. Than his last year in Green Bay?
Yeah, I don't think he was considering a runner for higher office. I don't think he was doing a weekly multimedia hit where he consistently talks about things that aren't the Green Bay Packers.
Well, he was hurt last year.
I don't think that's stopping. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know that I buy the idea that Aaron Rodgers is like 4 years ago motivated. I think
why would he put out there? And I don't think I think this was actually a mistake. But why would he put out there that Super Bowl trophy looks lonely?
To win the press conference and to make a good first impression.
I think a lot of people do that. He's ridiculous. Put
out a lot of stuff. If we want to go over it with a fine tooth comb.
That's fair, but that puts pressure on you. Like, Aaron, you came. This is New York. You came here and said you're going to get us the first Super Bowl since 1969.
I know, but he also is talking about mud floods.
Yeah.
He's a little bizarre.
Okay. Odds to win the AFC East. Buffalo still at 1. The Josh Allen effect. Dolphins at 2, then the Jets, and then the frisky Patriots. Going to surprise some people. Win 5 games. Nick, who is the best bet to win the division?
Well, maybe this will surprise the audience, but there is an obvious answer, and it's the Bills.
Oh, wow. Look at this guy coming around.
I don't think I've ever said the Bills are a dumpster fire, that the Bills are, you know what I mean, going to be a sub-500 team. Find it. Never happened. I simply, correctly, accurately, consistently said they were not Super Bowl contenders. Okay. Can they win one of the weaker divisions in the league? Of course. Do they have, hands down, the best quarterback in the division?
Yes.
Obviously. Does it make the most sense that the Bills, even that the Bills in a bad year should win 10 games? Yeah. I don't particularly believe in Tua, and I think the Miami had a rough offseason. I definitively don't believe in the Jets, and the Patriots are just trying to avoid relegation. So that just leaves Buffalo, so Buffalo's the best bet.
Look, I think this is a tough division. I mean, I agree it's not one of the stronger divisions in the league, but I think it's highly contested. As much as I talk about Miami with the breakdancing, I mean, the offense, McDaniel is great.
Yep.
And, I mean, the weapons, and I agree, I'm not as high on Tua as Wilds. I'm kind of where Nick is on Tua.
Just a fact.
But, you know, are they going to be able to beat good teams? Yeah. We'll see. The Jet on paper, and I'm going with health. I get it if you want to bake in health. On paper right now, the Jets look like they have the best team. The defense, again, they beat legitimately good teams. They beat Buffalo and Houston and Philadelphia last year.
They beat Houston, and C.J. Stroud had to leave the game.
Who made him leave the game?
Oh, you get
that
credit?
Defense?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, I'm just agree saying. With you. You do get credit for knocking out the other team's quarterback.
I mean, in the 70s, I don't think
they won seven games, Wilds, with, I keep saying it, and it doesn't keep getting in your head, the worst quarterback play in the league.
Okay.
And they won seven games. They've got, now you're right, Josh Allen's best quarterback, but I think if Rodgers is good, they've got the best weapons. I think
they don't have the better weapons than the Dolphins.
Oh, no, you're right. Dolphins got the best weapons, but the Jets have the best defense. They got the best defense, a good
and
quarterback.
Second best weapon.
And second best weapon. Yeah.
So right, I want to hear what Wilds is before we break.
I just think that we should give Tua some credit because everything, the ceiling for the new Rodgers, I don't know if MVP Rodgers is still there.
No.
So whatever Rodgers, he's somewhere between the last year in Green Bay, Rodgers, and MVP Rodgers, uh-huh, kind of mold that guy together, and I think that's his ceiling. Well, so if you combine those two guys, right, so we have the last 2 years of Rodgers there.
Sure.
So I try to combine them and try to make like a composite guy. Like, what if he's just in the middle of these two seasons? Yeah. He would average about 237 yards, right, 257, 217. Yeah. That's basically what Baker did. So is he Baker-level quarterback? I guess so. His passer rating
was
112.
Is that
okay,
what Baker did?
So 112 and 91. So I'll meet you in the middle.
100?
101. Yeah. Who had a 101.5 passer rating?
Russell Wood?
No. Tua. And Tua also was available all 17 games. Tua also led the league in passing yards. So the concept of what we want Aaron Rodgers to be is what Tua already is. The weapons are going to be great. Well, Tua's got better weapons. The coaching is going to be great. Tua's got a better coach.
I don't think it's just numbers, though. Just like I look at Russell Wilson, and I can say he played fairly well last year, but I don't think he was as good as his numbers. I don't think Tua is quite as good as his numbers suggest.
Obviously, he's not as good as his numbers.
Well, their team scores the second most points, so
at some point.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Game 7 in Cleveland. Cavs storm back from being down 18 to send the Frisky Magic home. 39-9-5 for Donovan. This after a 50-point performance in Game 6. Most points in a two-game span, in Cavs playoff. Wow! Donovan and prime, kind of post-prime LeBron. Donovan, now the king of Cleveland. Well, I'm just saying.
All right.
I mean, just
get to
according to that stat,
yeah.
I just wrote exactly.
No, all right, America,
exactly.
Here's the deal.
That's the question.
Wilds was asked, as we all were, before the postseason, who you trust most in the playoffs. And he said Joker, Murray, and then of everyone in the postseason, took Donovan Mitchell third. And the reason you haven't heard about that until right now is because Donovan in the first five games was 22 a night on 4-23 splits. Okay, everyone that you root for now that doesn't play great was hurt. It's good to know. But so, Brew, the question is, should he be vindicated? And the answer is absolutely not. Because even none of us thought Donovan Mitchell stunk. I think all of us picked the Cavs.
You said LeBron.
You
went with LeBron.
Yes, and by the way, this postseason, as far as what their production was, they're damn near identical because Donovan was bad the first few games. But regardless, what about Jalen Brunson or Anthony Edwards or Luka or Kyrie or SGA? Who've all been better than playoffs.
You could have said.
So you're not vindicated.
And in games 2 or 3 and 4 that they lost in Orlando,
yes,
he averaged 15 points on 36%.
Yes. You need to protect home court, Cleveland. Okay. You're from Cleveland. You know this.
No, Donovan. I just don't think he's the third best player in the playoffs.
Right.
But who I trust. Is going to get – there is no doubt in my mind, game 7 – well, now we have two superpowers colliding.
Really?
Yes.
You giving him a chance against Boston?
I'm giving Donovan Mitchell a chance.
Donovan putting up numbers.
That's
He'll
what it is.
That.
It's just it's like a He's one man show. Lose.
Let's just ask it again, and we can take out
LeBron,
Jamal Murray, because he's hurt.
Yeah. Donovan's right a little
now,
hurt
right,
too.
Right now, of the guys left in the playoffs, there's 8 teams. You're going to take Joker's, the guy you trust the most. Obviously, yeah. We know that. The next guy you are taking is Donovan Mitchell.
Well, Jamal Murray, still.
No, but I said he's hurt.
No, he's still going with
Jamal. Okay, that's fine. The next guy you're taking is Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. You're out of your mind.
Yes.
He hasn't been as good as Brunson.
He's been very good.
I just disagree
with
you. You guys are haters. You hate
him. No, I actually think he's a superstar.
Oh,
I do.
Well, then you trust him.
Not more than a lot of guys.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Game 1 tonight at the Garden. Pacers around 5-point underdogs. Jalen Brunson coming off 3 consecutive 40-point games against Philly. So, Brew, would a huge series, huge, and a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, finally, in your mind, make Jalen Brunson, son of Rick Brunson, a superstar?
Cover Rick. Look, I expect the Knicks to win. I got the Knicks in 6. All right, New Yorkers, I got the Knicks in 6.
Don't yell at them if you see them on the street.
But no, 1,000 times no.
This is crazy.
Okay.
Wait, what are we saying? I'm not falling for the, because he does it in New York versus Sacramento, that he's going to be a superstar. That's like saying Fat Joe is a top 5 rapper of all time.
Well,
Fat Joe is dope. Fat Joe has some anthems, some classics, but he's not a top 5 rapper of all time. Jalen Brunson is dope, but he's not a superstar yet. Nick, let me give you some bubble superstars. Devin Booker. Is he better than Devin Booker?
Yes.
Okay, I disagree.
Shows up. Yes.
Jaylen Brown. Is he better than Jaylen? Really? Because Jaylen Brown can D you up.
He is better than Jaylen Brown.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell.
So that one's very, very close.
It's not, because Donovan Mitchell has a much better track record of dropping 50 and 40 and all of that in the playoffs. Let me finish.
Sorry.
Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's older.
Jimmy Butler.
Kyrie.
So with Kyrie, that's a very
close
one.
He's not better than Kyrie. De'Aaron Fox?
So De'Aaron Fox has been in line at club superstar.
Okay, but
if he had made the conference finals, he probably would
really
get in.
That's all it takes.
No.
Get to the conference finals. Let me throw a little something at you. Because Jamal Murray averaged 26 points a game in helping a team win a championship. Their first ever.
Yeah.
Then he hit 2 game winners to oust LeBron and AD. He ain't a superstar. Trae Young has averaged 25 and 9 for his career.
Yes.
Led a lesser team with a lesser coach. coach to the conference finals.
Yes.
He ain't a superstar.
Right.
Now I'm supposed to say
Jalen Brunson is a star. Hold on. So here's my pushback and issue with your analysis of this. You are acting as if this is a one-year wonder.
It's a two-year wonder.
I would say three. I think that
16 points a game is superstar level.
No.
Wow.
No. What I am saying is we saw two postseasons ago, he got a glimpse of the number one option with those three games Luka was out. He was excellent. He was then unquestioned the second best player on a team that had back-to-back playoff upsets and then ran into the champs in the conference finals. Second best player on a conference finalist. The next year, he goes to the Knicks and I think overachieves our expectations. I think everyone's expectations. You would admit that. Mine as well. And they go as
24 game.
Right. Over in 28 a game in the playoffs, and they win a round that we didn't expect them to win, and then they lose to the eventual conference champions. And then this year has been 36 a night in the playoffs, something
it's
no
one series. One series against an injury-laden Philadelphia team.
Right, but what you're now saying is even if he does it in a second series,
against an Indiana team that is allergic to playing defense?
Because Trae Young did not follow it up. Trae Young was not good the next year. Trae Young,
really?
It was.
Because he averaged 28 and 10.
True, because Trae Young was, we saw him in that postseason, and then we said, oh, wow, maybe he's better than we all could have expected, and then we have never seen anything close like that before. Last year, we saw Jalen in the playoffs. We were like, oh, man, he's really good in the regular season for the Knicks, better than expected. In the playoffs, he was even better. This year, he built on that. Was an fringe MVP, MVP ballot guy.
So was Isaiah Thomas.
Right, but that was 1 year. That's my
point.
This
is 1 year.
No,
he wasn't a fringe MVP candidate last year.
I understand that, but he was better than little Isaiah Thomas was the year before.
Oh, Isaiah's had good years before that monster win.
But what none of these guys have that you listed, none of them, you can say it's one series, is a playoff series like the one Jalen Brunson just had. None of them. 36 a game is the team's only offensive option. I'm saying this. Listen, Club Superstar opens next week. Jalen Brunson might be
in there. He's a great player. He's a very good player. Let's slow down. Not yet.
Jalen Brunson might be in there.
I'm not saying he never will be, but not yet.
If there's an open spot on the Olympic team, let's say Kawhi doesn't play, would you want Jalen Brunson?
Jalen's a winner. I love that attitude.
So would you want him on the Olympic team?
I would be fine with him on the Olympic team.
There you go. So
but that don't mean you're a superstar.
He's kind of representing the country when it's 12 guys.
I can't believe you'd rather have Devin Booker. I can't believe it.
Devin Booker, yes, he's better than Jalen Brunson.
I vehemently disagree. Yes. What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless. From researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience, Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
Live from New York, it's the show that thinks Jimmy Butler's days in Miami might be numbered. It's the second hour of First Things First today. Game two tonight in Denver. The world asks. Must win? Meanwhile, Howie Roseman talks about one of Bruce's favorite players, Saquon Barkley. Are the Eagles officially all in? Little dig at the Cowboys
all
there.
In.
Yeah.
Are.
Let's check in on the Lakers right now, who fired Darvin Ham. And the entire staff. I thought that was too much. Aftermath of Ham's firing, LeBron came under fire.
for being a coach killer. Nick, do you think this label is fair or unfair?
I mean, it's lunacy. It's truly lunacy. And I understand there are a lot of, like, because immediately, not because of my doing, this show's doing, this became somehow by proxy about Michael Jordan. Michael Wilbon, who I have massive love and affection for, immediately in his evisceration
of
LeBron.
Well, he is close with LeBron's camp, too.
I get that, but immediately brought up Michael Jordan and the GOAT debate. And a lot of folks that are tastemakers in this field talked about, you know, Jordan's career. And forget the fact that, yeah, it's easy to not have a bunch of different coaches when your second coach ever is Phil Jackson. I get that. I understand that. But let's actually go through the LeBron coaching history. And you guys tell me where he was unfair or wrong or without precedent. First coach was Paul Silas. Paul Silas got fired halfway through LeBron's second year. That was not because of LeBron James. His second coach, when people were like,
I don't think he should have got fired.
But that wasn't LeBron's doing. There was no reporting that 20-year-old LeBron was like, hey, get rid of him. Then it was Michael Malone's father, interim coach, late Brendan Malone. But that doesn't count
interim
except
though.
For
yeah, interim,
right. when they're doing the 10 coaches thing. That's how you get right. to 10. Then there was Mike Brown. Mike Brown was fired when LeBron left. Mike Brown, for the record, I think is a very good coach. Also made one finals ever as a coach when he was coaching LeBron. 5 years not coaching LeBron, zero finals. But
LeBron didn't. He was silent on that.
Yes.
But the Cavs trying to re-sign him took it as, he doesn't want Mike Brown.
Right, so. But he was leaving, and he did not. So then there's the one everyone brings up, Eric Spoelstra. Okay, so in that meeting with Pat Riley, it was for the record, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, none of this falls on...
Oh, it was the whole team.
None of this somehow falls on anyone but LeBron. What is also not brought up is that Pat Riley, a few years prior, had fired his coach and put himself on the bench, and they won a championship. So those guys being like, hey, can you do that again? Is that available? Was not a ludicrous ask. Pat Riley said no. Also, Spo, who I think is great. It should be noted. 4 years with LeBron, 4 finals, 2 championships, 12 other seasons coaching, 0 championships, 2 finals. We can keep going. David
Black.
I
think he's...
My point is this. People are acting like LeBron is a coach killer when for every one of these coaches, every single one, the only high-level success they've ever had was with him. There is not a single coach.
Spoelstra was pretty good.
You're not a big fan of finals appearances. I know that.
I happen to be.
But he was 100% on finals appearances and 50% on championships with LeBron in the 12 years without him. 2 finals appearances, 0 championships. David Blatt, coached in the NBA for 1 year, or a year and a little bit. Made the finals. Anybody think that was the wrong call? Ty Lue, who we all think is an excellent coach. 3 years with LeBron, 3 finals, 1 championship, didn't get fired while LeBron was there.
I'm not convinced they couldn't have won it with Blatt.
Okay, maybe so, but the Ty Lue thing was smart.
Ty Lue's a great coach.
And as great as Ty Lue is, he hasn't been back to the finals since he was on coaching LeBron. Then there was a time and place people were so adamant about LeBron's a coach killer stuff, they caped for Luke Walton. Luke Walton, who never won more than 35 games until the 1 year he had an injured LeBron, then got fired, went to Sacramento, got fired there. And then again, you have Frank Vogel. 3 years with LeBron, 1 championship. 9 other years, nothing close
did
to it.
Did
really well in Indiana and lost to LeBron. Poorly in Orlando.
Three was Roy Hibbert, Lance Stephenson, and Paul George.
Seems like people defending Darvin Ham without ever actually defending him. And this is why it bothers me. Here's what people are saying. Darvin Ham is a great man. LeBron James should take accountability. At no point has anyone said, I think Darvin Ham did a great job with this Lakers team, and here's why.
I've heard people say that.
Okay.
He took him from 33 wins to the Western Conference Finals. He managed the Russell Westbrook thing, which wasn't his doing, for half the season until they fired him. Sure. This year, they finished 11-3. They won the in-season tournament. I'm with you in that. I'm not with the killing LeBron thing. We all know. Do I think LeBron ordered the hit? No. All right. But had LeBron said, look, D-Ham's fine. We're good. He would still be the coach. That's, I think, as far as you can go with LeBron. There's some cryptic stuff. There's some body language stuff that LeBron tends to do other places. And look, people don't dig when through body language or cryptic messages, you put the blame elsewhere. That's what they are not with, especially when you're as great as LeBron. And that is something he don't outright come and say, oh, it was his fault. It was his fault. But the cryptic tweets, the body language, or the tantrums at times on the sidelines, all of that says it's their fault. Just accept it. Even if it's not your fault, take it as the leader that is on me. And that's what pisses people off. I'm just saying. Now, this was a mistake to get rid of Darvin Ham, because who's out there? To me, the best hire would be Mark Jackson. I doubt that's happening. Mike Budenholzer, who Darvin Ham learned from?
I think Kenny Atkinson would not be a bad idea.
You think LeBron's going for Kenny Atkinson? The reason he wasn't feeling Spoelstra and David Black was because they hadn't done anything, but they carried themselves like they had. Kenny Atkinson's the same way. The dude that got ran off by Kyrie and KD, you think LeBron's going to accept that?
Well, the reason I say Kenny is because I don't think Ty Lue's a real option, and I think a first-time head coach is wrong. But here's the part that nobody is going to, I think, kill Durant or Booker when Frank Vogel gets fired.
When Monty Williams left, I don't know if they could throw their bodies in front of it.
But I don't think it is unfair to say, when you coach the Los Angeles Lakers and you get basically as good of health as you could possibly hope for from LeBron and AD, at this point in LeBron's career, not with you, and all NBA, but they're both going to be all NBA caliber guys, and you are all year long stuck at 10, fight your way out to 7, and then get whacked in round 1, that, fair or not, that gets people fired.
Well, we don't know how good this Lakers team is, honestly. But are they better than OKC? We don't know. Minnesota, certainly not Denver. Dallas, it's the league here. Whoever, I don't know who wants this job, to be honest, because it's not a great job. The Lakers don't tend to pay their coaches a ton of money. You're not, if you win, you're not going to get that much credit, a la Frank Vogel. If you lose, you're going to get all the criticism. And Nick, they ain't winning.
So
the only way they could possibly win a championship in the future is if somehow Kyrie Irving fell into their lap. He's not. This team is not going to win. Where's Denver going? Dallas, Minnesota, OKC. Memphis, I presume, is going to come up when they get Steven Adams and job back.
Steven Adams got
it's
no,
it's
I agree with that. The point that I am trying to make is there is a level of find a way to lay this at the feet of, you say cryptic tweets, which, by the way, this year, we're talking about the hourglass from 2.5 months ago, that got Darvin Ham fired. There haven't been those tweets. There hasn't been those IG posts. There is a stuff when it is simple as the Lakers carry themselves like they are S-Bob or La-Bob
right?
And if you don't have the easy, and I don't even want to call it excuse, explanation of one of our best players is out for the year or, you know, those things, and you have this type of year, it usually gets people whacked. And I just don't, I think that when you go through the actual record of the coaches, and it's like LeBron evidently within the Lakers is just universally believed. He has the power to fire, but not the power to hire. We all know he wanted Ty Lue, and the Lakers made him an embarrassing offer, a lowball offer, and now are leaking to people, oh, we want Ty Lue, when he's under contract with the team that shared a building with him. I just don't buy it. And this idea.
I think it's gone overboard on LeBron with that. But I'm just saying, we do know he didn't save Darvin Ham.
But I guess my thing would be, why would, if he, I, we disagree.
Who you want, I mean, have a plan. Who they going to get?
You and I disagree on the job Darvin Ham did. If, and I do not know this, I have not spoken to LeBron, obviously, about this. If LeBron happens to agree with me that he did a poor job, that I know enough about basketball, I know enough about the league, I think this was a poorly coached team, Why would he stop it? I think that is a fair opinion to hold, that Darvin Ham was a little out over his skis as the head coach of the Lakers. Why? So he should stop it out of what?
How do we know he underachieved? What we know is they were a 33-win team when he got there with a mess, a chemistry experiment gone awry, and he leads them to the conference finals. That's what we know.
On the 33-win team when he got there, that was not an 82-game season, right? And that was also
– No, it was an 82-game season.
So it was a 30 – so LeBron, was that the year LeBron was out?
LeBron played 56 games. I mean, that's enough.
Okay, yeah, you're right. So it was
games.
The year after they – 2 years after they won the title. It feels –
I'm just saying, like, where's the proof that they underachieved? I did think they were really maybe the second best team. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that after watching Minnesota and watching Dallas and watching OKC. The biggest thing to me is who you're going to get. If Ty Lue was available, I'd be on board.
Listen, if they ended up firing Darvin Ham to hire J.J. Redick, then I might agree with you. But the point that I am making is I do not feel – it is LeBron's responsibility to save someone's job if he thinks they did a poor job. I think it is an outrageous burden that we would only ever put on him.
I know, but just the history, I think the label comes from who did a good job in the course of his 20-year career.
I think Mike Brown did a very good job. I think Eric Spoelstra did a very good job.
But then the Spoelstra one is the one that people...
But what we're talking about is that we are Brew just told us the whole Heat team, well, that Dwayne Wade was the longest tenured guy and the guy who had real history with Spoelstra, right? That team goes to Pat Riley and says, "Hey Pat, you knifed Stan Van a few years ago. Can you do it again?" Pat Riley, to his credit, says no. And that's so LeBron's biggest coach killing was an attempted murder. And like, what are we talking? So do I think he has had a good head? Do I think any of the three Lakers coaches have done ultimately a good job? Walton, Vogel, or Ham? I actually don't. I know they
Vogel didn't do a good job.
I thought Vogel totally mishandled and was unable to get his arms around the Russ situation. I think that's what got him fired.
That was a tough situation.
I agree. But that's what so.
But he also helped. They won a championship with
him. Correct. Yes. I think sometimes you can win a championship despite coaching. I do think that.
Okay. Coming up next, Saquon and the Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Last year, the Eagles ran for almost 130 yards a game, Brew. Good for eighth most in the league. Eagles GM Howie Roseman talked about their running attack and newest star back, Saquon Barkley. Take a listen.
There's risk in every decision you make, but we don't think there's any risk on the talent. We don't think there's any risk on the person. And we also feel like, maybe not that it wasn't anywhere else, but maybe we have a good situation here with us in Philly to kind of maximize him.
Okay. Brew, can Saquon get Philly over the hump?
I'm not ready to predict the Super Bowl, but I think this was a great move for Philadelphia. And they have had good running back production, right? Miles Sanders, DeAndre Swift. But Saquon is on a whole nother level. That just shows that they're an organization that has had a great offensive line and has a good running attack, like Baltimore. Like Cleveland, when they lost Nick Chubb, they still kept churning out great yards on the ground. But Saquon's on another level. He's never been in a good situation. He's never had – by the time he got there, Eli was last year, I believe. So he's had no great quarterback play. He's had really no great receivers that the defense had to focus on. So all their focus could be on Saquon, and he still put up a good number of production. I think this is a lot like Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey, somewhat injury-prone, kind of like Saquon – And people kind of, you knew how talented he was, but he hadn't been in a great situation. He goes to San Francisco where they got all these weapons you have to pay attention to. And now we see he's better than we even thought he was. And I think the same thing can happen to Saquon because those receivers, that tight end, that quarterback, that offensive line, like you're going to have to pay attention to so much. And Saquon can catch out the backfield too.
True.
So I think it was a good move.
Listen, I think I agree with a lot of kind of the big picture ideas you said there. Where I'll disagree is on these fronts. One is I do not think Saquon Barkley is in the class that Christian McCaffrey is. I think Saquon Barkley was one of the best college football players of his generation at that position and was awesome as a rookie. And since then, whether it's just the injuries, whether it's the bad offensive line, whether whatever it is, even you know last year where he was mostly healthy, he was less productive than DeAndre Swift. Now, I understand the circumstances that you're bringing up. I think McCaffrey is on a team with all these great offensive weapons, and he's the best player on that offense, or except for Trent Williams, the best of the skill position guys. I don't think that is the case with Saquon at all. I think that A.J. Brown's better than him. I think Devontae Smith's better than him. And my concern for the Eagles, one of my many concerns, is I am not going to overlook the loss of Jason Kelce. We can't talk about this guy being in the discussion for the best center ever, certainly of his generation, about how people talk about how his athleticism, his leadership, his intelligence, all those things it did for them, and that they're not going to miss a beat. I also, and you mentioned this, I didn't look at Philly last year as a team that like, oh man, what they need is a better running game. So how much better is Saquon going to be than what they got from Swift?
We didn't look at San Francisco like that before they got McCaffrey. They had Mostert. They had some good running backs.
That is correct. Right. And if Saquon can be McCaffrey, then it's an unbelievable move. I don't think Saquon has been a great back since his first season. Now, if that's all injury and circumstance related, then he'll have a chance to prove it this year. But even if it were injury and circumstance related, we're now talking about a back going into year, you know, the latter half of the first decade of in his career, going into year 7, I think there's real concerns. I think there's legitimate concerns about what a 28-year-old running back with that injury history is going to be. And so it's a big swing by them. It's one that I think we were both surprised at the price they paid, the contract he got in this market, and it's just not where I thought they had their needs. And so,
but they got their needs
in the draft.
They drafted. Vic Fangio.
I think they made smart draft picks. I don't know that the two rookies that they brought in is fixed their entire back seven. I think those are smart draft picks long term, and you can hope at least one of them is an instant impact player. I still think those are legitimate concerns for them on the back end of that defense.
Cowboys don't even have a running back. Who's the Cowboys running back?
What? Rico Dowdle.
Who's wrong?
Zeke.
Oh, Zeke, yeah.
Zeke, that's right.
Sorry,
Zeke's turning back the clock.
Zeke is kind of...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Also have a YouTube channel with unique original content. Hubs makes an appearance. If you ever wonder what Hubs looks like. UFL medals time. UFL Stallions versus Showboats. This is Jordan Thomas with a one-handed grab brew. Please don't say it. Please
great
don't say
grab.
It.
What?
Oh, gosh darn it.
I mean... You didn't see this 30 years ago.
Athletes are better. Bigger, stronger, faster. Bronze medal. Brahma's running back John Lovett. 153 yards. Touchdown in a 18-12 loss to the defenders. Silver medal. Battlehawks wide receiver Akeem Butler. This is his second medal of the season. 6 catches. 134. Couple touchdowns. A nice win over the Roughnecks. And medal mainstay. Stallions quarterback Adrian Martinez. 368 yards, four touchdowns, ooh, and a blowout win over the Showboats. There is the podium from this weekend in the UFL.
Excellent. Game two, Wolves in Denver tonight. Minnesota up 1-0. Can't go down 0-2 at home.
Or tomorrow you'll be.
Why not? Bruce Clippers overcame it, and he never wavered.
You'll be looking for an olive branch tomorrow.
I'm not wavering. I'm just being honest. That's good. It's happened 29 times, only 5 times.
Right. So 1 in 5.
I'm not about this.
Okay, all right.
I'm not about the hard climb. Okay. I'm about easy street.
Yeah, we know that. We know
that. Don't go down 14.
You're out
here
talking.
Don't turn the ball over. Yeah. Hey, referees, maybe don't call 2 traveling penalties.
Oh, my gosh.
3-time what? Traveling?
What? This guy.
You act like it's not in the rule book.
Earlier, I brought up Jokic's turnovers, and Wiles said 2 of them were travels as if that's
2 turnovers were travels. One was a 3-second violation.
Yeah.
You're not the star of the show, ref.
But look at
let the guy play.
Bro.
Let him play.
He is internally right now freaked out.
Yeah.
He realized he finally had a long-standing opinion that he would be tied to. Not one of these ludicrous. People ask me, they're like, why is Wyatt's Super Bowl pick always so dumb? And I'm like, because he doesn't want to be tied
to anything. Always don't ask me that.
They do. Like, you pick the
why
Vikings
did he pick the Vikings and the Cardinals? And the Cardinals?
July. Can I bend your ear on Wild's Cardinals?
And you were big. He was on his last long-standing pick was the Bucks, wasn't he? He brought in
right,
the deer,
exactly.
And then
he does all
fell
these things.
All of a sudden.
He does all these things because he doesn't. He was too afraid of having real stakes.
Oh yeah.
And then he finally got him with the Nuggets and took a premature victory lap. Did a whole gentleman's thing, and now he's nervous.
Wow.
I'm a little bit nervous. They lost game one.
Maybe this will make you feel better.
Here we go.
Denver wins tonight.
Thank you. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, if Gobert doesn't play, then Denver definitely wins. If Gobert does play,
Denver is winning.
Not willing to
speak his next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Too.